Well, during the break, Bob McElwee gave me a credit card from Chase. It is called Chase Slate. Now, I don't know what that means. On the back side, it says Blueprint Bypass. There's a chip right here. And this is swipe technology. All you have to do is just swipe it by the reader, and it takes the money right out of your bank account. Let me rephrase that. It deducts the digital indication of your funds from your bank account because you do not have any money. You only have evidence of a digital amount that is called money. So, Bob, thank you for the card, and you just lost $100,000 right there. Okay. All right. Let's see who's at fault. How do these things take place? Why do we have so much trouble? Remember what Jesus said. Lawlessness shall multiply, and the love of many shall grow cold. All right. Let's come to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 2. And we will see as we go through, God holds the people responsible. God holds the politicians responsible. God holds the religious leaders responsible. God holds the business people responsible. Everybody is at fault because of sin. Now, we can also add in there the churches of God. Instead of proclaiming the truth and preaching righteousness and a warning, they're all fighting among themselves and condemning one another. Why? What purpose is that going to serve? What judgment is God going to bring? Just wait and see. It's coming. Micah 2 and let's pick it up here in Micah 1, okay? Micah 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Micah, the Moreshite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Now, Samaria refers to the 10 tribes, and Jerusalem refers to the Jews. Hear, all you people, everyone. Hearken, O earth, and all its fullness. Why? Why does God do it that way? Remember what he said? You go back and read Deuteronomy 30. And God says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you may live. And then he also says, I call heaven and earth against you this day. Okay. Let the Lord God be witness against you, even the Lord from his holy temple. That's from heaven down to here. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place, and he will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. He's talking about the return of Christ. And the mountains shall melt under him, and the valleys shall be split open as wax before fire, and as waters that are poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Judah and for the sins of the house of Israel, all the people. Now, God also singles out, as we'll see, leaders. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Now notice what he's going to do. Notice the cause of why God is angry, see? I will make Samaria as a heap of ruins in the field. Isn't that what we're seeing with the tornadoes, with hurricanes, with floods? And I will hurl down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations, and all her graven images shall be smashed in pieces, and all her gifts shall be burned with fire, and I will destroy all her idols, for she gathered them as the hire of a harlot, and they shall return as the hire of a harlot. Those pretty strong words. Look what we're doing. Go read Ezekiel 23 about Aloaba and Aloha. See what they did. Then he says, declare it and so forth. Come here to chapter 2 and verse 1. Woe to those who plot wickedness and prepare evil on their beds. Whatever it may be. Have you ever saw a special on the financial things that people do on CNBC? It's called Greed. There are many series on it. You ever seen a special they have done on thievery? Shoplifting? That's an everyday thing that people plot. Have you ever seen a special on what people do to rip off casinos? That's also on Greed. Watch it. Remember the movie where, what was his name? Douglas, first name? Michael Douglas. He played the lead part. He's talking to all these investors, and he said, greed is good. When the morning is light, they practice it because it's in the power of their hand. And they covet and seize fields and houses and take them away. They oppress a man and his household, even a man and his inheritance. That's what they've done with the real estate market, haven't they? Thus says the Lord, behold, I am against this family. I am plotting an evil from which you shall not remove your neck, nor shall you go proudly, for it is an evil time. The time has come. Comment was made with the analogy of the train. Well, each time the train came by, the price got higher. And the price got higher. And then the train didn't come. In that day, one shall take up a parable against you and mourn a bitter lamentation, saying, shall we be completely laid waste? Look at where the tornadoes have come. Record number of people died in seconds from prosperity to poverty. Total destitution. Are we going to be wise enough to listen? Do we have eyes to see and ears to hear? We need to. He has exchanged the portion of my people, how he has removed it from me. To the apostate, he has divided our fields. It's going to happen. Our land is going to be taken up by other people. Therefore, there shall not be for you anyone casting a line by lot in the congregation of the Lord. In other words, he's going to take away the temple. That's what he's saying. Okay? Come here to chapter 2. Let's see who else is to blame. Because we read there in Matthew 24 that many shall be led into sin. Who leads them into sin? Their leaders. Micah 3 and verse 1, and I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob and magistrates of the house of Israel, all the government leaders and judges. He holds all of them responsible. Is it not for you to know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and strip the flesh off their bones, you leave nothing for them. God is going to judge you. And it's coming upon all the nations, not only here, but everywhere in the world. And it'll come like a wave. Pass by, things will be come back for a while, and then if there's no repentance, it's going to come again. And if there's no repentance, it's going to come again. Now notice verse 3. Who also eat the flesh of my people and tear off their skin. Yes, I read that. And break their bones and chop them into pieces like meat for the pot and like flesh for the cauldron. Isn't that the way they treat people? Have you ever read what's going to happen if Medicare comes through? Obama, 76. No more cancer operations for you. They're doing here. Why? Because we need the money to pay for the debt. Then they shall cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. Now, those are going to be desperate times, aren't they? Notice how desperate they're going to be. He will even hide his face from them at that time as they have done evil in their doings. Now, who else does God hold responsible? Verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who mislead this people, who bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and even prepare war against those who do not put something in their mouths. Therefore, night shall be to you without a vision, and darkness and not divination. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be darkness over them. And the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. They shall all cover their mouths, for there is no answer from God. They're going to try and find God, but he's not going to be there. Now, while there's yet time, see, we need to really, really take all of these things and have some repentance and change in our lives as well. So Micah says, but truly I'm full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and magistrates of Israel who hate judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her judges judge for a bribe and her priests teach for hire and her prophets divine for silver. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No evil shall come on us. That the way it is? You watch the Sunday channel. Maybe there will be someone there who will be bold enough to tell the truth. But what happens when they're bold enough to tell the truth? Oh, they're nuts, they're quacks, they discredit them. Or that you don't belong to our elite club. So if you don't belong to our elite club, we count you as non-existent. Okay? Let's see how leaders affect the people. Let's come here to 1 Chronicles 21. I think you'll be really surprised when you read this. What happens? The leaders, the kings, the heads, the government, the elders. Because Satan is also involved in this world. And the world is being given over to Satan the devil because men want it that way. They don't want God's way. They want it their way. The people. What would happen if we had this? Let's have one day with no lies. A national day of no lies, no lie day. Make that on a Wednesday in the middle of the week. Nobody tell any lies. From the president on down. I think he'd have a difficult time because I don't think there's any way that he knows how to really tell the truth. Then the next week, let's have this. No murder week. Okay? No murders. All of you plotting murders, delay it. Okay? And then take 1 week the next month and say, no adultery, no homosexuality, only marriage. Then take the next week. No stealing week. No shoplifting. Bankers, full disclosure. How would that go over? Oh, let's have no idol week. Let's have 1 week of idol smashing. And we'll start at St. Peter's Basilica. Wouldn't that be lovely? Okay? No, they hate the law. They hate God. See? All right, now here's David. He loved God. But notice how on guard that we need to be. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Let's number them. Let's see how many soldiers we have. So he said to Joab, go number the people from Dan to Beersheba. Give me the number. Joab answered, verse 3, may the Lord add to his people 100 times, but my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? He gave him good advice. When you're set to do evil, will you listen to good advice? Now let's apply that to the government of any country of this world. They really listen to good advice? No. Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause for trespass in Israel? He knew. But he forced his way. But the king's word prevailed against Joab, and Joab went up and down all Israel and came again to Jerusalem. And he gave the sum of the number of people to David, and all Israel that were there were 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. Then it listed all of them. Okay? Now notice verse 7. Because of the acts of the head of state, since today we have presidents and things like this. Verse 7. God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. Because of the acts of the leaders, the people suffer. The leaders can be government. The leaders can be businessmen. They can be bankers. They can be stockbrokers. They can be dealers in goods and services. They cause people to suffer the judgment of God. And David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech you, remove the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, punishment's still going to come. This is kind of like the alternatives. What are we going to do with the budget in Washington? See? Do we want to push the collapse out 5 years, 7 years, or only 3 years, or only 2 years, or only 1 year, or only 6 months? What do you want? So God says, I offer you three things. Choose one of them that I may do it to you. Then Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be swept away before your foes while the sword of your enemy overtakes you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even the plague in the land and the angel destroying throughout all the borders of Israel. Now say what word I shall bring again to him who sent me. See, they never count the cost. They never look at the end. They never understand how it's going to affect the people, and they never understand how their actions are judged from God in what they are doing. And it seems like every government in the world has a satanic dome over the top of it. That within that dome, there are some people who want to do truth and right, some people who want to be responsible, and they are ridiculed, they are put down, they are pushed aside, and so that aggravates the judgment of God against us. Listen, unless there is an immediate, in America, 20% cut of all salaries, 20% cut in the personnel working for the government, the collapse is going to come. And when you cut the 20%, you're going to increase unemployment. But that's not going to stave it off. We have reached a point of no return because of sin. Just like David here, he reached the point of no return when he did what God did not want him to do and was advised by Joab, don't do it. God is for you. Why would you do this? So, he said, all right, give me the word. I'll take it back to God. And David said to Gad, I'm in great distress. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of men. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and there fell 70,000 men of Israel. 70,000 perished because of his policy against God. Well, how are the sins stacking up against God with all the leaders in all the nations, okay? So then what happened? God sent the angel, and after, as he was destroying, God looked and he repented of the evil, and he told the angel enough, and then God, to show his mercy, the place where it stopped was the place where the temple was built. Okay? Let's look at the emperor Nebuchadnezzar. Let's come to Daniel just a few pages back, okay? Book of Daniel. All right? Daniel, the fourth chapter. Everybody gets all lifted up, how great they are, how tremendous they are. Now, God raised up the whole Babylonian Empire, not because they were righteous, but because the Jews were sinful. Is God raising up a mighty nation on earth today that's going to figure big time in the end? Yes, he is. Not because they're righteous. What's the name of that nation? It's called China, just like he raised up Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar thought, oh boy, look at the things that I have done. How great I am. So Nebuchadnezzar, this is actually Nebuchadnezzar's epistle in the Bible. This was written by Nebuchadnezzar. That's how important this lesson is. So he was told. He told Daniel the vision. Daniel told him what it would be. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar says, here's the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said this, cut down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter its fruit, let the animals get away from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the animals in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's heart to a beast heart be given to him. And let seven times pass over him. That's 7 years. That's the vision. Daniel 4, now verse 17. When the judgment comes from God, there's always a warning, is there not? Yes, indeed. So here was the warning. He told this to Daniel. But notice verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and by the demand of the word of the holy ones. Those are the angels who are running the world today behind the scenes. And there is also a mixture of demons and Satan behind the scenes, running the things in the world, so that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. It's like it was with David. Made a wrong choice. The whole nation suffered. Are we suffering from wrong choices by government today? Yes, indeed. Are other nations suffering from the same thing? Yes, indeed. Now notice, he rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets up over it the basest of men. So we're going to learn the lesson, don't trust in men and don't trust in government to solve our problems, right? I mean, is that not a good description of most of the leaders of the world? Not just the one we have here in America. Verse 18, this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and you, O Belshazzar, who is the Babylonian name of Daniel, declare the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make the meaning known to me, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then he explained it to him. Verse 22, that tree and the image, he says, it is you, O king, for you have become great and strong, for your greatness has grown and reached unto heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And as the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, yet leave a stump of the roots of it in the earth, even a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let the portion be his portion be with the animals of the field until seven times pass over. This is the interpretation, O King. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. That's something. You think about the decree that has come upon this nation because of our sins from God? It has. Verse 25, that you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with a beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like oxen. And you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he will. The lesson is, no one, no government is going to defy God. There is always a time of judgment. And like we read in Micah, the judgment is coming. It is happening. We can see it. Now, I'll talk about Leviticus 26 a little later. But what is the pride of our power that's going to be broken? Our dollar, our government, our way of life, our military, and our land. All those come from God. We're not going to defy God. Get away with it, see? Okay. And whereas, verse 26, he commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, your kingdom shall be sure to you after you shall have known that the heavens do rule. That's what he said. That was the conclusion of it. Therefore, O King, let my advice be pleasing to you. Break off your sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, so there may be lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Now notice what happened. When people are given good advice of what they should do, do they listen? Did David listen? No. Did Nebuchadnezzar listen? No. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of his royal palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spoke and said, Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal residence by the might of my power and by the glory of my majesty? Lifted up in pride. Same as Lucifer, right? Yes. Have you seen this happen to religious leaders, even within the churches of God, that lifted themselves up and said, look what I have done? Yes, indeed. Notice verse 31. While the word was yet in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. So just like it said, he went out and ate grass for 7 years, didn't cut his nails, didn't cut his hair, lived with the oxen. I don't know if he mooed like a cow or whatever it may be, you know. But there he was. Then afterwards, he repented and blessed and honored God. You can read the rest of it. The final verse, let's read that. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are truth and his ways justice, and all those who walk in pride he's able to abase. Now, that applies to leaders, that applies to individuals, that applies also to the people. Applies to athletes too, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Question, how many championships has Tiger Woods won since he got abased? Zero. All right. Let's come to 1 Kings 11. We're going to learn something here in 1 Kings 11. Actually, 1 Kings 11 and 12, because this will be very good. Okay? And it's all about Solomon, the one who was chosen to build the temple by God. Appeared to him twice in vision and dreams. gave him wealth, gave him wisdom, gave him understanding. Now, what did he do? He got carried away, had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and over across the valley from the, on the west from the temple, there was the Mount of Abominations, where he built all of the little temples and incense memorials for all of his wives to burn incense to their gods. And he worshipped Ashtaroth, verse 5, and Milcom, verse 6. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully go after the Lord like his father David. And he built the high places, did for all of his wives. Verse 9, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And he told him, don't do these things. So he says, I'm going to take it away from you. I'm not going to do it in your day. For David's sake, I will not do it in your day. Put it into the hand of your son. And then he also split off the 10 tribes of Israel. Now notice what happened. Verse 14. And it came to pass, the Lord stirred up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, and he was of the king's seed in Edom. Now, Edom is Esau, the descendants of Esau, right? Does this sound a little like what's going on today with the war on terror? And it came to pass when David was in Edom, so it gives a little history of it, Joab, the commander of the army, had gone up to bury the slain after he had stricken every male in Edom. And Joab remained there 6 months with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. However, Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go to Egypt. That sound familiar? And when Hadad was still a little child, and they rose up out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt, and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who had given him a house and appointed him food for him and gave him land. In other words, he had asylum. Okay? Hadad found great favor and so forth. All right? So then after David died, he left, verse 21, and then God stirred up another adversary, verse 23, Rezon, okay, who had fled, and he kept, verse 24, he gathered men to himself and became head over a marauding band after the slaughter by David, and they went to Damascus and dwelt there and reigned in Damascus. Sound a little bit like what's going on today? Listen, what we need to understand is this. Do not ever say God allows. God causes. Whenever there is sin, God raises up the enemy. God does it. He doesn't allow it. He causes it. So here we have terrorist against Israel, don't we? Because we become sinful, fat, and sassy and reject God. God raised up all of these terrorists. Oh, yes, we fight back. Oh, we protected ourselves. Oh, we haven't had a major incident in 10 years. Aren't we wonderful? Really? But is God with you? No, it's getting worse. Okay? Now, he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the mischief that Hadad did, and he hated Israel and reigned over Syria. Isn't that something? Now, also then, within what took place? Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and Ephrathite, okay, that's from Ephraim. And what happened? God sent a prophet to him at Shiloh and said, all right, I will give you a kingdom like I gave David if you'll keep my commandments. if you will hearken unto God. But did he do it? No. Did he have a chance? Yes. So what happened? Because of the people, because people wanted their way, he reinstituted the whole calf worship system in the northern 10 tribes. And that became great sin before God. Now you see, here's the lesson. We'll finish here. I'll have part two when I get down south. Here's the lesson. You cannot go against God and prosper. God will raise up enemies. God will send correction. God will give warnings. And if we do not hear, then God takes action. You see, the solution to the war on terror is complete repentance, beginning at the White House and Congress, all the judges, all the governors, and all the people, and all the churches. That's the solution. God holds all of them responsible. Now, likewise with the churches of God. Do we love God? Do we do things the way that God wants us to? Or do we get lifted up in pride and vanity and want our own way? If we do that, God will let us have it, but he's going to punish us. Has he punished us? Yes, he has. So all the churches of God need to remember the same thing. See? You can't fight against God. You can't go against God. Eh? If you have faith in God and believe in God, you know that these things are going to have to happen. See, you know, just like the counsel that was given to David by Joab, he said, don't do this thing. No, I got to do it. Just like the counsel given to Solomon, don't do this thing. No, I got to have all these wives. So then God raises up. He didn't allow. He raised up the enemy. I don't know what's going to happen in the nations of Israel, but it's going to repeat itself. There is no way it's going to change. And God holds everybody responsible. So those of us in the Church of God, we need to realize we are held doubly responsible because we know. Now we'll talk the next segment concerning false prophets, false religion, and what God is saying to all of worldly Christianity, because they are also responsible for all the things that are coming. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.